Okay, today what I want to do, I'm going to give you time for about 20 minutes to work on, till about 10 till, to work on your what am I's as a group, as groups, and then I'm going to have all six of you present, so you have to do really fast, okay? You're doing a great job on that, so we'll do all six groups, have a presenter. So let me explain what the what am I's are. Number one, God is viewed as one person. What do the scriptures say about that? Do we agree with that or not agree with that? So that will be the first group. Second one is Moses was the greatest of all prophets. Now, what you want to find is scriptures that say, is there somebody greater than Moses or not? What did Jesus say? What does the Bible say? So second one is Moses the greatest of all prophets. Thirdly, the Torah cannot be changed. The law cannot be changed. That's another basic belief of conservative Judaism. So can the law be changed? So you want to discuss that. Number four, that they use the Talmud to interpret the law, prophets, and the writings. What does the Bible say about interpreting the Bible? What is the proper methodology? How do you find substantial proof for that scripturally? It's number four. Number five, and the what am I's is they believe in salvation through law keeping. If you can just keep the law, and I think there's even a belief that if the Jews would keep the Sabbath, just all of them, just right one time, that Christ would come back. I don't know if it's him or the whole world, but I know if they believe it, the Sabbath could just be kept. So is law keeping what makes us? Is law keeping the key? So you want to find out, is salvation through law keeping? And number six, religion, race, and community are nearly inseparable. What does the Bible say about us today, and what might it say about the future, about the religion, the race, and the community all together? Okay, so those are the six. Do I have volunteers for number one, God viewed as a person? Okay, Mike, thank you. Number two, Moses, the greatest of all the prophets. Who wants to lead that group? Remember, you're the leader. You make sure everybody contribute. You organize it. But you don't have to do the speaking. You could pick somebody in your group to do the speaking. Okay? Jason does number two. Thank you. Number three, the Torah cannot be changed. Who wants to do that one? Mylon? You prefer Nick? Okay. Number four, the use of the Talmud to interpret the law, the prophets, and the writings. Matt. So far we don't have any ladies. Are there any brave souls? Believe in salvation through law keeping. Esther. Jessica. And number six, religion, race, and community. I know Corbin had his hand up for about three. Does this one fit you, or would you want me to go with Esther or Aaron? Okay, Corbin. So we have five out of six guys. Great, way to go, guys. Way to show that leadership. It was that leadership sermon. Do you see that? They came to the fore. All right. Well, I'll give you about 20 minutes. Get with your group. I'll put them on the board again. Mike has God viewed as one person. Jason has Moses, greatest of the prophets. Nick has Torah cannot be changed. Matt Hernandez has use of the Talmud to interpret the law, prophet, and writings. Jessica has they believe in salvation through law keeping. And Corbin has religion, race, and community are all nearly inseparable. So if you get with them, I'll give you till 5 till. That'll give us 25 minutes to download. Plan your presentation for no more than 3 minutes. So keep the scriptures, the key ones, one, three, or four of them at the most. All right, go ahead and break up. They're going to be doing the what am I's, and I'll come back and discuss those with you as they do their presentations. And have your presenter ready, whoever's going to do the presenting. And are we back on recording? For the people out in radio, computer, DVD, CD land, we're ready to go. We'll be explaining the class. I'll introduce each one of the a student representative from each of about six groups, and we have about eight or nine in each group, and the one who's going to be the presenting person will give you the summary of what they came up with as to whether we believe in this particular concept or not that's espoused by Judaism. So we'll have our first presenter from Mike's group who's going to be doing it. Okay, we have Zach Smith bringing his comments and his group's comments on God is viewed as one person.
Okay, we had number one, God is viewed as one person. First off, we believe that there is one God family, which is God the Father and Christ, but that they are separate. So first of all, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God, and it uses the Hebrew word Elohim, which is plural, and it's used the first 66 times in the Bible, it uses that word. And Genesis 1:26, where it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, indicating that there is more than one. Psalm 110, verse 1. Turn there. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. And Exodus 3:14. Which says, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. And last we have, we only used one New Testament scripture because we weren't sure if in Judaism they believed in the New Testament. So John 1:18 we used, though, to prove from our view. Where it says, no one has seen God at any time. But then in Genesis 32:30, it says they named that place because they saw the face of God and did not die.
Thank you very much, Zach Smith from Cleveland. I'm going to say Akron, but Cleveland. God viewed as one person. So good job on this. You want to show that the Bible indicates two. Now, the Jews would tell you that when they use a plural Elohim, it merely means making God greater. That's how they would explain the let us or Elohim instead of Eloah or El. That it's making God greater by making it a plural. But, of course, the Bible says, and the Lord said to my Lord. Who is he talking to, himself? Okay, the Lord said to my Lord. Good points. Okay. Genesis 1:26, let us. This is my interpretation. John 1:1, very good scripture to go to. And again, we're talking about Jews coming to the faith. We're not trying to prove our beliefs by their scriptures alone. So we're talking about any Jews who are being converted and asking you about this doctrine that they're trying to wrestle with. So John 1:1 says, and in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So you have God and you have the Word. One's called God and one's called the Word. He also, 1 Corinthians 8:6 does talk about oneness of God. The Lord is one. So God is one. We would acknowledge that. But we see God as a family, a father and a son, a relationship that developed after Jesus Christ came to this earth. We also see God having God and the Word together in the beginning. Okay, let's go to the second one. Moses is the greatest of all the prophets. And for this one is Jason, who's doing your presentation. Jason Nitzberg is going to do the presentation on this one.
All right, our group had Moses, greatest of all prophets. And if you will turn with me first to Matthew 18, verse 1. Matthew 18, verse 1. At that hour, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, Who is the greater in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child to him and set him in their midst, and said, Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whosoever shall humble himself like this little child, this one is the greater in the kingdom of heaven. What we're relating this to is who's greater as to who the best prophet is. And if you'll remember, with Moses at least, Moses did not humble himself when he cracked the stone. He did not give the credit to God, and therefore he was not very humble in that case. That's point number one. Point number two, if you'll turn to Exodus 7, verse 1. It says on this one, And Jehovah said to Moses, See, I have made you a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall speak to Pharaoh. He will send the sons of Israel out of his land. So here we see that basically Moses didn't even do the job all of himself. Aaron was also there, his right-hand man. So he's not necessarily the best because he had to have some help, big time, especially in the very beginning. Third point, Acts 7 and verse 37. Acts 7, verse 37. And this is Jesus talking here and talking about, This is that Moses who said to the sons of Israel, and this is speaking of Joshua. This is Jesus talking. This is that Moses who said to the sons of Israel, The Lord your God shall raise up a prophet to you from your brothers, one like me, you shall hear him. So he's speaking of Joshua. So basically, what Jesus is saying that Moses said was that there is going to be one that comes after me that's as good as me. So there's our other point. And the last point, which I think is the best point, you always keep your best point for last, Matthew 11, verse 7 till 9, and as they say, As they departed, Jesus began to say to the crowds concerning John, What did you go into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft clothing. Behold, they who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. Here's the killer. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say to you, and one more excellent than a prophet. Bam. Right there, we see John the Baptist as greater than Moses. So, that is why Moses was great, but he wasn't necessarily the greatest of all. And you've always got the point that Jesus, of course, is greater than Moses, but he's God, so you can't necessarily say he spoke God because he was God and so on and so forth. So you can throw that in there, but you know they're not going to listen to that. Yeah, right. So anyway, that's Moses, greatest of all prophets.
Okay, any comments or questions?
Yes, Chris. Acts 7:37. That one, where we're going with that is, it says, "The Lord your God shall raise up a prophet to you from your brothers, one like me." Who shall hear him? And Moses was the one that spoke those words that Jesus quoted. What we're saying is basically, Moses said, there's going to be one like me. And so if one is going to be like me, more than likely he's going to be as good as me, and therefore not necessarily greater. I'm sorry? Okay, perfect. That will work too. I took that out of context then. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Yes, Mary.
Question was, how do we know that Jesus Christ was that prophet? There are several scriptures in the New Testament talk about him being that prophet. Truly, this was that prophet to come. They were all waiting for that prophet because Moses said, when that person comes, and you can read all of Deuteronomy, you listen to him. He not only made him as good as him, he made him greater. When he comes, you hear him. Don't just hear me. Because Jesus Christ came and brought something different. He made the spiritual intent of the law, where Moses brought the physical intent and a little bit of spiritual intent. Jesus Christ brought the spiritual intent of the law. So very good job. I like the way this was presented. It was presented with confidence. It was presented here. Here's what we know. Now, you would get a little bit of an argument if you try to base too much on the first point about Moses not being very humble, because the Bible talks about him being the meekest man, actually labels him as the meekest man. So I probably wouldn't lay as much weight on that, though it was a good strategy and it was a good starter. But your real key points were your numbers 3 and 4.
Well, there was the case, well, because of that situation, God didn't let him enter the promised land.
That's right, because he struck the rock. Well, that was fine, that part. But to say he was not, and that one instance, yes. But to say he wasn't humble, therefore he wasn't humble, because it does call him the meekest man. All right, let's see what I have done. This is my Deuteronomy 18:15. Moses said there would be a greater. Now, you can argue who the greater is. We believe that prophet was Jesus Christ. Now, there is a group that's a spinoff of our former association where the man actually believes he is that prophet. And I'll tell you that you're really asking for trouble if you try to claim titles that I believe belong to Jesus Christ, that most believe belong to Jesus Christ. Matthew 11:11, John the Baptist was declared great by Jesus Christ. I think this is the same one that he was referring to, same account. John the Baptist was declared greater. Ephesians 2:20, all prophets are important. The church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, not the apostles and Moses and a few other prophets, but all the prophets are important. And they're important to us to learn from. They're important. Moses was important. Nobody wants to knock Moses down. Let's just not exalt him too high. So, good job. And Acts 13:22, David was a prophet. And David was a man after God's own heart. So I would kind of give the nod to David if I were going to. Humanly, you know, he was a man after God's own heart. Didn't say that of Moses. But he did say that of David. David is called a prophet. So that would be my counter to that particular statement. So good job. Very good job. Presentation. All right. Let's go to the next one. The Torah cannot be changed. Nick, who's doing it for your group? Okay. Dana is coming up. Dana Zanetti from Akron. Columbus. Oh, Columbus. That's right. So here she is.
Okay, we had the Torah cannot be changed. And our first point is that no man can take away or add to the law or the Bible. And the first scripture we have is Matthew 5:18, which says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." The next scripture we have is Revelation 18:19. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Revelation 22:18-19, right? Okay, I read that wrong. Which basically says that no one shall add or take away from the book. And then our second point is only God can change the law. And it, Hebrews 7:12. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity and change also of the law. God reserves the right to change the law with priesthood, but no change in his word or the Bible. Then we have 1 Chronicles 16, which says, "Be mindful always of his covenant." And then our final point, false prophets trying to change the law, but they will be punished. We have Daniel 7:25, which says that false prophets are going to try and change God's word. And then to end that, we have Malachi 3:6, which is, "For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." So that's that's what we have. So.
Okay. Any comments or questions? Any questions about our presentation?
You're talking about two things when you talk about the law. First of all, you're talking about, do you do away with the law as a whole, which I think she substantiated, you know, not one jot or one tittle will pass from the law. That was the first part of it, so we agree with that. But can the law be changed? May it be changed? Yes, it may. Can we cite examples of where it may be changed? Absolutely. So let's take a look. Matthew 5:17, law would be magnified by Jesus Christ. Verse 17, if you get the context, he talks about the word pleroo, P-L-E-R-O-O. The word to fulfill there means to fill it full. So I have a glass half full. I fill it up. It is play. The Greek word pleroo. It's completed. It's not a matter that I kept it for you. I fulfilled it by doing it for you. But rather, I filled it up. It was half full. I filled it up. That's the sense. It's that same word is used where he says the gospel was fully preached to all these peoples, fully preached in the book of Romans. Isaiah 42:21 is a prophecy. Isaiah 42:21 is a prophecy of what Jesus Christ would do, the servant of God would do. Isaiah 42:21, the Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. So what God did, he came and expanded it. Now, what are some examples of that? Well, he said, you've heard it said before, do not commit adultery. But I say to you, if you look on a woman to lust after, you've already done it. So before, the literal act or coveting, something that wasn't yours, but the literal act of doing it was what it took. Now he says, no, it's more than that. It's the act of the mind, the thoughts. The wrong, impure thoughts that cause it. Same way with murder. You've heard it said, don't murder, but I say to you, don't hate. So if hatred of someone is just as guilty as murder, just as bad as murder. And he went on to explain how he magnified the law. So he magnified, he brought the spirit intent, didn't just bring the physical, literal intent. Now, what do you keep, the spirit of the law or the letter of the law? I hope you keep both. Because if you're breaking, oh, I just, in the spirit, I don't mean anything bad toward you, stab. I really think you're a nice person, stab. You know, I could have a good attitude toward you and kill you. So I didn't really do anything bad because I had a good attitude. No, you have to do both, right? Well, I'm not really lusting for this person. I'm just committing adultery with them. Not really lusting. Okay. Not doing it in my mind. Well, probably you already did it in your mind, and now you're doing it literally. So both of those are wrong. Prophecy, Christ would come, magnify. Hebrews 7, good point was brought out, Dana, good point. There was a change in the law necessitated by Christ. Christ, where were the priests from? Who knows? What tribe? Levi. Where were the not just the Levitical priests, where were the higher priests, the ones who served more in the priesthood? Which particular branch? For Aaron. They came from Aaron's side. The Aaronic priesthood, the high priests, the ones who did all the ministry, they came from Aaron. The other, the Levitical priests, we could call deacons. They were like the deacons, but the ones who were like the ministers in the church were from Aaron. Christ comes on the scene. What tribe did Christ come from? It says that in that book. Where? Judah. It is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah. Of which tribe the Bible says nothing concerning the priesthood. So how could he be a high priest to you? Since he didn't come from Levi or Aaron. So there had to be a change in the law. So God changed it. And where was that found, that you could only be a priest from those other tribes, or the tribe of Levi and also the family of Aaron? Where was that found? in the law. So he changed it. And also, to whom did people pay tithes? They paid tithes to Levi. God says, look, Levi, you serve me, so you get one tenth of the produce and income from the tribes. You serve me. But now Christ said, changing the law, how does Christ's ministry going to be supported? Also that change taking place. So there's a change in the law regarding the priesthood and regarding aspects of the priesthood. In 2 Corinthians 3:6, he talks about a new covenant and a new administration. We're not under the old covenant, so there's a change there too. Where was the old covenant instituted? In the law. So there are several changes that were taking place within that area. Okay, let's go to number four. Number four is Matt's group, the use of the Talmudic interpretation. And Matt's going to do the presentation from Cleveland, Akron. I'll just say Ohio. How's that? Just say, from Ohio. Come on up, Matt Hernandez.
Yes, we are all from Ohio. All right. Okay. We did have the use of the Talmud to interpret the Bible, the scriptures, the Old Testament. And we started off with 2 Peter 3:16. And this says, where is that? It says, also it is written to his epistles, I think speaking of Paul, speaking in them of these things in which are some things are hard to understand, in which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, they also do to the rest of the scriptures. So it's saying men interpret the scriptures and they twist them, and basically it's going to lead to their own destruction. And then we went on to Mark 7:7, which was on the handout. And let's go ahead and turn there. It says, in vain they worship me, teaching the doctrines of men. So basically, Christ is saying here that these men basically take their own interpretations and hold them equivalent to the law. And basically, since it's not the law, it's something that they do to raise themselves up because it's their own interpretation. You know, basically their vain. And then, thirdly, we have Matthew 23 and verse 4, where it says, for they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. So they basically make these rules as a burden to others, yet they don't follow them, these men that twist the scriptures. Most of the Pharisees and things like that. All right, and then lastly, this is also on the handout. It's Deuteronomy 12:32. This is a good one to look up. Let me get there real quick. Give you some time to get there as well. 12:32. All right, and it says, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it, and you shall not add to it nor take away from it. So basically, they changed, they added, you know, they interpreted with the Talmud, and the Bible specifically prohibits doing any such thing. And so we don't believe that any kind of interpretation or changing of the twisting the words of that the Bible has is in any way right. That's what we came up with.
Go ahead and take our break now, and for those who are on CD land, we'll come out and finish this on next Tuesday, and then we'll go into Islam. So we'll finish these. The other two groups be ready to present start of the class on Tuesday, and then we'll go ahead and try to finish up Judaism, go into Islam.